Hi, everybody. This is Direct Impact, and this is what we're going to be talking about.
You're not, if you took that stage, you would get booed off of it. You would get booed off the stage.
Yeah, that's things getting a little nasty at the GOP convention between the new guard and the old guard in the Republican Party. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. What do you say we do this, huh? Okay, let's do this with this first video that I'm going to show you. Now, this first video is really frustrating for me, right? Here's what happened. So the Biden White House wants to take the spotlight off of the president's apparent, you know, mental incapacity. So they call NBC and they offer up the president for an interview about the shots that were fired at Trump, right? Good opportunity for them. I mean, that's what they want people to be talking about instead of Mr. Biden's mental problems. So NBC News presenter Lester Holt sits down with the president of the United States and asks him questions that appear to be written by the president's staff. Wait till you hear some of these. The questions are so obviously staged, it makes the news presenter. And look, I like this guy. He and I were hired almost at the same time at the networks by NBC. So he comes across stupid, though. He comes across like he's not watching the news. Watch this.
If you were to have continue to run and be officially nominated, what happens if you have another episode like we saw during the debate?
What happens if another?
Yeah, what happens if you have another performance on that par, on that level?
Dude. He's already had another performance on that level. I mean, Lester Holt, my old buddy, where have you been? I mean, he just called Zelensky Putin. He just called Kamala Harris Trump. McFly, why don't you ask him that question? I mean, this whole narrative that it was just one bad night, which is why, by the way, according to Salon, there are a lot of people in the Democratic Party who don't think it was just one bad night. Nancy Pelosi is among those. She wants the guy out now. Watch this. This is an interview and an article that just came out in Salon magazine. There's the headline. It says, Pelosi is working the phones to oust Biden as the Democratic mutiny continues. And you know why this is so important? Because Nancy Pelosi controls the donor pool. She controls the money. Manila, what's more important than that?
Well, duh, America. This is all about the money. Okay, look, Nancy Pelosi, up until this point, has been wishy-washy about her support of her very longtime friend, Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And the Speaker Emerita, we all know here in Washington, D.C., she brings in the dough, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
She controls the purse strings. But this in-party fighting, this intra-party fighting is going to have to get hammered out very soon, because look, the Chicago DNC is scheduled for August 19th. And now, breaking just ahead of us getting on air, Rick, the party leaders, I don't know if you've heard, but they have just moved to an early virtual voting, a virtual roll call for the first week of August, breaking tradition that they would ordinarily do. Yes, because they need to solidify Biden's nomination or not Biden. I don't know who it would be, but they're aiming for the first week of August. The party's trying to blame this on Ohio state laws for the rush that Ohio has a deadline for a nominee to be put on the ballot. The Ohio state officials, they say false because they fixed that legal loophole weeks ago, but the Democrats say they don't trust the Republican governor, Mike DeWine. They're afraid that there's going to be dirty tricks to get Biden off of the ballot. So this Ohio law that was amending the deadline won't actually go into effect until September 1st. So technically, their original law for August 7th deadlines will still be on the books when that date, you know, comes and goes. So it could provide openings for, I don't know, chaos in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, there's no question. They're trying to do everything possible to move him out. It's just a matter of getting to the right people and being able to convince not only the president, but the president's family as well. By the way, given the absolute disaster that we were just talking about in the Democratic Party, or that the Democratic Party has kind of created for itself, it's looking like Republicans, all they have to do is just show up and they're going to win. However, last night we saw evidence of that long-standing rift between the old Republican Guard, you know, the ones represented by the Bushes and the Cheneys and the McCains, et cetera, and the new Republican Guard represented by people like Congressman Matt Gaetz, who we see here confronting Kevin McCarthy during an interview with CNN.
Speaking. What night are you speaking? Are you speaking tonight? Or
one person? No.
Hey, you're not. If you took that stage, you would get booed off. You would get booed off the stage.
Shut up, Gates.
Hey, dude, I don't even know who you are, man.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that was a little weird. By the way, remember when I said that all Republicans have to do is not mess up a presidential victory, which seems to be on their lap right now? Well, here's another one. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, Manila, seemingly admitting that he can't talk without a teleprompter. On the very first day of the Republican convention, watch this.
It is now my honor to introduce the Attorney General. And there goes the teleprompter.
Dude, you're live. When the teleprompter goes out, you don't just say the teleprompter went out and walk away. I mean, he looks good, though. Every hair is in place. Sounds great. Until you take away his script, and then he melts down and doesn't know what to say. Wow, that was not good. That was ugly. That makes him look dumb to me. To you? Well,
at least the band sounded good, Rick. I mean, look. This is TV. We all use teleprompters.
Yeah.
I heard the snort there. But you know what? We're all fans of the teleprompter. But at the same time, if you are actually aware and believe in the topics that you're discussing
you
or what
be...
you're supposed to right. be talking about, you should be able to talk
exactly.
about it without a teleprompter. Did he forget the name of the AG of whatever state
you
he
didn't
was supposed
know who
to
you were introducing? I mean, really?
Like, that's really, really bad. I mean, I don't think he should be expecting, once he's out of the house, I don't think he should expect a TV contract, that guy.
No. All right, so anyway, while we here in the United States are trying to figure out our politics, guess what's happening in other parts of the world? And this is important. Countries in the global south, countries from BRICS communities, they're continuing to forge alliances. Look at this. China and Russia. Both usual targets of the United States and NATO, and you're going to hear horrible things about them during the Republican convention and the Democratic convention, are conducting military exercises off the coast of China. The Russian Pacific Fleet joined the Chinese Navy for drills that included air defense exercises and anti-submarine drills in the area of the South China Sea. By the way, while that is going on, the Philippines has now signed a mutual defense agreement with Japan, interestingly enough. And it's kind of odd when you consider the history of what Japan did to the Filipino people before and during World War II. Now, Manila, are these two countries, Japan and the Philippines, just simply coming together naturally, or do you think there's somebody else there orchestrating this this arrangement?
Well, before we get into that, Rick, let me take us back about a week ago. Last week, during the NATO summit, the collective group basically called China an enabler of the war in Ukraine, that they were enabling Russia's war on Ukraine. Those are their words, not mine, citing the so-called No Limits Partnership between China and Russia. Then you had the Chinese officials. They responded saying that NATO needs to stay out of Pacific Rim affairs and to stop creating chaos. Again, their words, not mine. Stop creating chaos in the region. And then they went to accuse NATO of this is a quote, hyping up China's responsibility on the Ukraine issue. And they then went on to say, you know, this is sinister and unreasonable. So here we are today. It's no surprise to me that now you have Russia and China both flexing their muscles in the Pacific, because if NATO kind of gave a wink, wink and an elbow nudge, and then suddenly you're seeing this, I don't think it's a surprise that you're seeing the Philippines and Japan, who have historic bad blood, almost as bad as McCarthy and Gates, bad blood, working together to, I would say, poke the dragon.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot going on there. And unfortunately, we here in the United States and most of us who consume Western media don't get the real story. That's why I think it's important to keep an eye on that part of the world, especially the South China Sea. All right, one final thing at the Republican National Convention that I have to show you. You know, one of the biggest stories in the U.S. politics for quite some time now has been, my God, what happened to Rudy Giuliani? I mean, I used to see this guy. I think you probably did, too. I think most Americans did. He was always viewed, perceived as one of the sharpest, most courageous U.S. politicians by millions and millions of Americans, right? Well, now it's all about Rudy's fall from grace. And fall from grace he did yesterday as he tried to make his way into the Republican convention. This is a little tough to watch. It's tough to get old, man. I'll tell you, I've said this before when I've showed you videos of Mr. Biden stumbling and mumbling. I feel bad for him, and I'll say the same thing about Rudy Giuliani. I watched that video, and I kind of feel bad for him. I mean, what do you think, Manila? I mean, that was rough. That was ugly.
Same, Rick. But I will say that is a tough choice of words there, the fall from grace. I mean, talk about falling. There were people that were speculating online that, oh, there goes Rudy. He's drunk.
Yeah.
And then other people, I'm gonna side with you on this, is that there needs to be some humanity here. This man is 80 years old. He's 80 years old. America's mayor, who everybody adored after 9/11, correct. The fall from grace happened, but at the same time, aging also happened, which is why I think for the same sympathy I offer to Joe Biden in the way of age-related difficulties,
right,
I think should be extended to Rudy Giuliani. He is 80 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, to see, you see somebody fall that's 80 years old, that can lead to something bad. You fracture a hip, and that is a downward slide, Rick.
But no, you're absolutely right. It happened to my father, and it was pretty much the beginning of the end, and it was very sad. But optics matter in politics. And that video of him falling, the video of him with the hair dye coming down his face, the video of him in the movie trying to be with a very young woman while drinking wine in bed, those are immense, hard pictures to get out of your head. And unfortunately, while I feel sorry for him, he also helped to create that monster somewhat. You put yourself in these situations, those videos come out, and then you've got to deal with them because that's a perception people have. That's also the reality of politics. So, and we have to be honest about that as well.
And also, Rick, I think this show, I think we're good at being able to say, let's call for humanity for everybody, especially in light of President Trump's attempted assassination. I think this is a time for us to be a little more humane to everybody.
Yeah, well said. Well said. And I think that might be part of the story that might be coming out of the GOP convention. We're going to find out for ourselves, because when we come back, we're going to be heading to Milwaukee, where we're going to take you to the halls of the Republican National Convention. And we're going to be talking to Angie Wong. She's a delegate from Florida. She's going to join us to talk about the mood. It should be a happy mood, right? Should be a happy gathering. We're going to find out from Angie when we come back. You stay right there. And welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. Joining us now is Angie Wong. She is a columnist. She's also a Republican strategist. And she's also a full-out Trump loyalist who's there to officially cast her ballot on behalf of the former president. Angie, I mean, given the news coming out of the Democratic side, given the news coming out of the White House, and given the polls that I have seen recently, add to that what just happened the other day where the former president looked all but heroic after someone tried to shoot him. I mean, the mood there must be giddy at the GOP convention, no?
Absolutely. Look, they wanted us to have a funeral for Donald Trump this week. Instead, we're delivering him on the ballot for November 5th, along with J.D. Vance, his running mate. So it didn't work, you guys. All the lawfare and also the warfare and the bullets that we're seeing, nothing's stopping this Trump train. And I think that's frustrating the Democrats. They've got a lot of moves to make between now and November 5th. I don't even know if that's enough time for them to make it. But clearly, they're seeing that Trump is completely unstoppable at this point.
What do you make? I mentioned earlier that really the folks at the Republican convention need to just mind their P's and Q's and get out of the way. Don't make too much noise. Don't make mistakes. Don't say or do anything stupid. And yet we watched that video of Matt Gaetz with McCarthy. How much of that is there? How much of that is prevalent, that old guard versus new guard that's really taking place in the Republican Party? Do you see it?
Unfortunately, I saw that incident with Kevin McCarthy and Gaetz live. Look, Gaetz had his people there with their phones recording the entire thing. They wanted a viral clip. It is so clear that that was staged on his part. Shame on him for even bringing that kind of messiness onto the RNC convention. This convention is not about Matt Gaetz, but he wants to turn the media towards him, and his team knows how to do this stuff. And unfortunately, he does this a lot, so much so that even someone, you know, as dumb as me can call him out on it.
Do you think? Look at this. And by the way, this got really nasty. There were a lot of bad words that we had to bleep out of there because they were really going after each other, these two. What do you think of the Matt Gaetzes and the others in the party who are constantly trying to, as you say, get a lot of attention? You know, in many cases, I'll tell you, some of the arguments they raise, they're correct. I mean, they are taking on the institutional Republicans, and by institutional Republicans, I'm talking about the Cheneys and the Bushes and the McCain factions that are still within the party. How do you separate yourself from that old guard, or do you think they shouldn't?
I think that's the whole point of the J.D. Vance Trump ticket, is to make sure that this is a MAGA ticket, right? I mean, clearly, you know, there are lots of considerations in choosing your running mate. Trump wants to understand that the guy he has to spend the next couple of years with, 24 hours a day, he better like, and he better have his back. And J.D. Vance will certainly have his back. There is certainly a lot of old guard, you know, to label, you know, the traditionalists, the establishment. Yeah, it's one thing. But I think Gaetz has to start acting like a statesman for anyone to take him seriously at this point, because that kind of behavior, stage behavior, I know we're in the age of social media, it's just not welcomed, and it divides the party further. We don't need that right now. The whole message of the RNC convention is unity. And I think that's what you're going to see in Trump's speech on Thursday. He's completely ripped up his old speech. It's going to be about unity and humanity. I mean, the guy got shot. I want to hear about him being human right now and what that experience was like.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, you've heard the news, I'm sure. You know, he said he had written a very negative speech where he was going to really go after Biden and the Democrats, and then he threw that script away, and now he's going to go with something more positive where he talks about unity after what happened to him. You know, I'm wondering, as I'm watching this convention, whether you think that as long as Biden remains the candidate, this thing is sewed up, I should say. I'm starting to talk like Biden. But what happens if it doesn't? What happens if they push Biden out? We just learned moments ago, this just crossed, by the way, that apparently Schiff from California Adam Schiff has just asked Biden to step down. Pelosi apparently is now doing the same. It's looking like that trajectory may hold. Angie, if that happens, what do you think would be the reaction in the Republican Party? What would be the reaction there at the convention?
Look, Republicans are more than happy to have Sleepy Joe be on the ticket. I mean, look, my dogs can probably beat Joe Biden at this point. Anyone could beat Joe Biden. It would be such an easy win. CNN reported just recently that Biden, right now, if they ran the race, Trump would win by a landslide.
No, but you missed my point. We know that, obviously. With Biden there, it looks to me like a lock. What if Biden isn't there? What if you have to run against the governor of California or the governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan? Or what if you have to take on Michelle Obama? What do you think would be the reaction?
Well, I think there's two reactions. I don't think anybody on the Democratic ticket wants to run against Trump because guess what? That's going to hurt their chances. They know they've got, what, weeks to run a presidential race? Mm-hmm. They're going to lose. So nobody, not even Kamala Harris, wants that. And, you know, that's something that we don't discuss a lot, but I think that's exactly what's happening. You have Whitmer and you have Gavin Newsom. They're saving themselves sort of for 2028. They want an appointment in. But clearly what the Democrats are doing right now is that they're trying to save all the down ballot candidates. They want the congressional races. They want the senatorial races. They want all the down ballot seats. That's all they're able to save at this point. It's too late to run another president. You would need such name power and star power to jump in right now. You literally would need a Hollywood star that everyone knew and grew up with to jump in to take over that ticket.
So that person is George Clooney that you just named. And actually, he's in consideration to be asked to take over the party. He's also one of the top donors in the Democratic Party. What would you think, or what do you think the consensus would be there at the convention if that were announced?
You know, I joked about that a few weeks ago. I think that's a real possibility at this point. Mm. Joe Biden has to go off. Look, you have a matter of weeks to run this race. Clearly, Joe Biden's out. His entire team knows about it. They're just the Bidens are working out the best deal they can to leave. All it's going to take is a big donor to get them out. They're going to make some promises, etc. But, you know, as Manila's had said just recently, guess what? You know, they're trying to bring up the virtual roll call, not until August, that she said, 2 days after the RNC convention. Yeah. They want to have this. So on the 21st of July, they have to get him out. And that's because of the money issue. He cannot resign and get off the ticket until he's formally nominated in order to pass the baton to somebody else. Yeah. So that is what's happening right now. And we're seeing a Hollywood script act out. This is act three, Rick. I can't wait to see the rest.
Speaking of Hollywood script, I'm glad you said that. In the old days, conventions really mattered. I mean, you would have been there to actually cast a vote for somebody, and you didn't know if your vote was going to be that would elect the next president or choose the next president. Today, I mean, it's all orchestrated. We know exactly what's going to happen. There's no surprises coming out of this convention, and there might be surprises in the Democratic convention. We don't know yet. Does that bother you? Do you wish we could still go back to a time when these things were not just shows orchestrated by Hollywood producers?
It really is. I mean, I'm here at the RNC convention. I'll tell you, it's like going to the Oscars. The entire thing is scripted. You know, that clip that you played of Speaker Mike Johnson, yeah, where he, you know, couldn't read off the teleprompter. I see the teleprompters. They're large. You know, every single script is written out word for word, and it's all about the deliveries. I've really appreciated some of the speeches, especially from the everyday American, the non-politicians going up there. They're reading off a teleprompter too, but they're crying on stage because guess what? They just lost a son, or they just lost a child,
yeah,
or, you know, or they had a family member killed to illegals, you know, crossing the border. Whatever it is their stories are, they're reading off a teleprompter as well. All of this, unfortunately, is scripted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, it's great having you there and having you share your perspective from the inside. And we thank you so much for sharing it with us. Thank you, Angie. Have a great day. And that's our show. Remember, always be looking outside your own box when you're looking for truths, because truths don't live in boxes. That's part of our mantra. I'm Rick Sanchez. We'll be looking for you next time.